Chinaman, he still stinks. He doesn't have a pistol,
the first man pointed out.
He'll give a sook. They're all in thick.
Ah Kui was kicked again in the buttocks this time. The toe of the man's boot caught his tailbone and shot a jolt of pain up his spine to his jaw.
You know Johnny Sook? You know Johnny Sook? You seen him? We want to talk to Johnny Sook.
Ah Kui grunted. He attempted to raise himself up onto his hands and fell back.
He's not going to spill, observed the first man. Here, move away a bit.
The second man danced away on light feet and then ran at Ah Kui like a kicker hoping to make a conversion. Ah Kui felt him coming at the last moment and rolled fast towards him to cushion the blow. The pain in his ribs was excruciating. He could only breathe with the topmost part of his lung. The men were laughing now. Their voices had receded into a throbbing haze of sound. Then a voice thundered out over the street,
"You've got the wrong man, my friends!"
The attackers turned, standing in the open doorway of the Weld Street coffee house, his arms folded across his chest, was the magnate Dick Mannering. His bulk quite filled the doorway. He made for an imposing presence, despite the fact that he was unarmed, and at the sight of him the two men shrank away from Kui Long at once.
"We're under instructions to apprehend a Chinaman with the name of Johnny Sook," said the first man, sticking his hands into his pockets like a boy.
"That man's name is Johnny Kui," said Mannering.
"We didn't know that, did we?"
said the second man, his hands stealing into his pockets also.
"Instructions from the jailer," said the first man. "The chink called Johnny Sook is on the loose," said the second. "He's got a pistol, armed and dangerous."
"Well, you've got the wrong man," said Mannering,
descending the stairs to the street.
"You know that because I'm telling you, and I'm telling you for the last time. This man's name is Johnny Kui."
Mannering seemed rather more menacing for the fact that he was advancing upon them, and at his approach the men finally balked.
"Didn't mean any trouble," the first man muttered. "Had to make sure."
"Yellow lover,"
muttered the other, but quietly so that Mannering didn't hear. Mannering waited until they'd departed, and then looked down at Ah Kui, who rolled onto his side, checked his ribs for breakage, and clambered laboriously to his feet, picking up his trampled certificate of indenture as he did so, and brushing it clean of dust. His throat was very tight.
"Thank you,"
he said, when he could breathe at last. Mannering seemed annoyed by this expression of gratitude. He frowned, looking Ah Kui up and down, and said,
"What's this about Johnny Sook and a pistol?"
"Don't know,"
said Ah Kui.
"Where is he?"
"Don't know."
"Have you seen him? Anywhere at all?"
Ah Kui had not seen Ah Sook since the night of the widow's seance, 1 month prior. Late that night he had returned from the wayfarer's fortune to find Ah Sook packing his few belongings and vanishing with a grim efficiency into the rustle of the night.
"No,"
he said. Mannering sighed.
"I suppose you've been reassigned, now that Aurora's gone back to the bank,"
he said after a moment.
"Let's have a look at your paper, then. Let's see where they placed you. Hand it over."
He held out his hand for the certificate. The document was brief and had been written without consultation with Ah Kui. It provided his apparent age instead of his actual age, the origin of the ship he had arrived on rather than his actual birthplace in Guangdong, and a brief list of his attributes as a worker. It was heralded with the numeral 5, indicating that the length of his indenture was 5 years, and had been stamped with the company seal. Mannering cast his eye down the document. In the box marked present site of employment, the word Aurora had been recently scratched out and replaced with the words Dream of England.
"Can't get a bit of luck, can you?"
Mannering said.
"That claim belongs to me! One of mine! Belongs to me!"
He tapped himself on the chest.
"You're working for me again, Johnny Kui! Just like the good old days! Back when you were running rings around me with your bloody crucible and bleeding Anna Magdalena for dust!"
"You!"
said Ah Kui, massaging his ribs.
"Together again!"
said Mannering grimly.
"Dream of England, my eye! English nightmare, more like!"
"Unlucky,"
said Ah Kui.
Unlucky for you, or unlucky for me?
Ah Kui did not reply to this, having not understood the question, and all of a sudden Mannering laughed and shook his head.
It's the nature of indenture, I'm afraid, that you sign away your luck. Every chance to get lucky you sign away. It's the nature of any contract. A contract's got to be fulfilled, you see. It's got to come around on itself, sooner or later. A lucky man, I've always said, is a man who was lucky once, and after that, he learned a thing or two about investment. Luck only happens once, and it's always an accident when it does. It's contracts that come back around. It's investments and obligations. It's paperwork. It's business. I'll tell you another thing I like to say. If a man wants any shot at making his fortune, then he'll never sign his name to any piece of paper that he didn't write himself. I've done that, Johnny Quee. I've never signed my name to any contract that I didn't write myself.
Very good, said Arqui.
Mannering glared at him.
I don't suppose you'd be so stupid as to try and run something funny past me again. That's twice now that you've tried to bet against me. Once on the Aurora, and once on Anna. I'm a man who knows how to count.
Very good, said Arqui again.
Mannering passed the indenture back to him.
Well, you'll be pleased to turn your back upon Aurora, I don't doubt. And you needn't worry about Dream of England. She's as sound as a drum.
Not a duffer,
said Arqui, slyly.
Not this one, said Mannering. I'll give you my word on that. You'll do all right on Dream of England. She's been raked for nuggets, of course, but there's plenty of dust in the tailings. Perfect for a man like you, someone with two eyes in his head. You won't make a fortune on her, Johnny Quee, but who among you ever does?
Ah, Quee nodded.
Get yourself back to Canieri,
said Mannering at last, and returned inside. Venus in Pisces, in which the chaplain loses his temper and the widow loses a fight.
But who is this? Said Lydia Wells. A man of God?
She stood in the doorway, half smiling, plucking at each of her fingertips in turn to ease off her gloves. Anna and Devlin looked back at her in mute horror, as though apprehended in some gross act of fornication, though Anna was by the window, her palm still pressed flat against her breast, and Devlin was seated at the sofa, from which he now leapt up, blushing horribly.
"Goodness me!"